A number of years ago, I guess it's about 3.5 years ago or so, there was a very big controversy in the Jewish community. In fact, it started off in the pages of Mishpacha magazine, spilled over into social media, included multiple lectures and shiurim in response in various parts of the community. And I'd like to address the issue that was so controversial back then. I'm not sure if it's still controversial or not, but I think it's an incredibly important topic. Generally, I think it's a global topic, and I think, as I hope to demonstrate momentarily, it is one which finds very clear expression within some of the Torah and the ideas relating to Sukkot, and specifically, Hoshana Rabbah. There's something very perplexing about Hoshana Rabbah. We know that, on the one hand, it is the culmination of the holiday of Sukkot. You imagine, just intuitively, it's the C, the culmination of it, it's the highest level, the fullest expression of the themes of Sukkot. We know in the Beis HaMikdash there were special mitzvos and ceremonies. Certainly we know tomorrow morning with the long davening and the kittel, a very significant and special davening, concentration of Avodas Hashem. And we know certainly in the Torah HaNistar, in the various Kabbalistic and mystical sources, they speak about the judgment and the Chasimas Hadin and the Ema and the Yira and the significance and the seriousness of Hoshana Rabbah. And yet, Chazal tell us in the famous Medrash, we've spoken about it at least once already over Yontif, and I imagine every rabbi has to speak about this at least once. Medrash tells us in Vayikra Rabbah that the Arba Minim are comparable to the four different types of Jews. And the Esrog, with its Tam and its Reach, represents the Tzadikim, who have both Torah and Maisim Tovim. And the Lulav has only the taste of its dates, but not the smell. That's the Torah without the Maisim Tovim. And the Hadassim have the smell without the taste. The people have Maisim Tovim, but don't have the Torah. And the Aravos, no taste and no smell, no Torah, and no Maisim Tovim. And therefore, isn't it perplexing? Have we ever thought about this fact? That all of Sukkot, we take the Arba Minim together with all of the deep and significant messages that that represents, a bit we spoke about in our shul of the introduction to the Chag. That's the first 6 days of the Chag. But comes along the culmination, the final day, the climax of Sukkot. The Chasimas Hadin that started on Rosh Hashanah. And we separate, we don't take for the major culmination, the apex, we don't take all four of the minim, we take only one. And of all of the minim, which one do we take? The Arava? Ein bo tam, ein bo reach. Say Chazal, representing a Jew without Torah u'mitzvos. That is the instrument that perhaps going back all the way to Nevi'im, and certainly the actual ceremonies that were in the Beis HaMikdash even earlier, that's the instrument for such significant Avodas Hashem, such significant Kirvas Elohim that we all aspire to tonight and tomorrow, the Arava, Ein Bo Tam, Ein Bo Reach, Ein Bo Torah, Ein Bo Maisim Tovim, Ein Omer Ella Darsheni. What's the pshat? It doesn't make any sense. I think when I was a kid, I was too excited and too busy hitting it to see if I get off all the leaves. I never bothered to think, what am I doing? Have any of us thought about it? I have to admit, I'm still a kid. I don't look like one, unfortunately. I wish I did. But I'm not sophisticated. I never thought about it. Just till recently. Why, of all things? We know we do the Arava. We know this Medrash. We know them both forever. But if you put them together, it doesn't make any sense. So perhaps the answer lies in an idea. Let's take a step back before we can take two steps forward. Perhaps the idea lies in a very important and very, very, very foundational teaching of the Maharal Miprag. I think it was the last 2 years that I was in Baltimore. I think it was those 2 years, 3 years. I had a zchus, I had a weekly shiur in the shul in Chumash. Not Parshas Shavua, not Vertloch. We learned Chumash B'Iyun Rav in the three years that we had the shiur. We got through all of Parshas Bereshis, all of Parshas Noach, and the beginning of Lech Lecha. Mamish, Iyun Rav, with Makoros, Rishonim, Achronim, Pasuk by Pasuk. So one of the last shiurim we gave in that series, in the beginning of Lech Lecha, we addressed a very foundational, very significant question, first asked by the Ramban and then afterwards by many others. Chazal tell us about all the incredible and remarkable accomplishments of Avraham Avinu. And yet on that, the Torah is completely silent. The Torah just introduces us to this new superman of Jewish history, Avraham Avinu. He's going to be the chosen man. Aber Farvas. What did he do to deserve such notoriety, such significance? So you'll tell me he broke the idols, he found God on his own. All the things Gemara taught you in Gan, I believe them all but Munah Shalema. And none of them are written in the Torah. Why not? Asks the Ramban. Ramban answers what he answers. In other contexts, I prefer and love an answer that the Sfas quotes from his grandfather, Chedusha Harim. But there's also a third answer, which I discovered in teaching that shir all those years ago in Baltimore. And that is of the Maral. And it's his commentary on Pirkei Avos in Perikei, Mishnah Yates, in which the Mishnah tells us something which, like so many of the teachings in Pirkei Avos, are so obvious once the Mishnah tells us them, but so profound and so important to our just basic functioning in life as human beings, let alone Ovde Hashem, says the Mishnah there, if you have an Ahava Shetluya Badavar, you have a love of someone or something which is based on the characteristics of that person or thing, the benefit you get from that person or thing, the pleasure that that person or thing gives you. So then, as long as you're still getting the Davar, you'll have the Ahava. But obviously, intuitively, we understand once it's batla ha-davar, batla ha-ava, right? It's a, you know, if you're taking advantage of someone, they don't realize it, maybe that's unethical. But let's assume it's upfront. I have a relationship with you. It's a win-win, or even just a win. I'm getting something from you. That's why I interact. If I no longer got something from you, what do I need? You know, upfront, nothing rude, nothing bad about it. You provide a service, and you're great at it. When I no longer need the service, I no longer need you. Push it. That's what the Mishnah tells us. Okay, so now it's not just intuitive, it's a Mishnah. Says the Maharal, with this we now understand the Torah's description, or lack thereof, of Bechira of Avraham Avinu. It's true that Avraham did all these things to deserve being chosen. But had the Torah highlighted those, we would have assumed that the ongoing choice of Avraham's descendants of the Jewish people was Tluya Badavar, was dependent on our continuing in the ways of Avraham Avinu. But in fact, says the Maral, it's not the case. Once Hashem chose Avraham as his descendants, we are the Banim Lamakom, we are the Ama Nivchar, ideally when we follow in his ways, and even when we don't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Avraham, which then spills over to everybody else, is an Ahava She'ena Tluya Badavar. Of course it's better if we imitate Avram's ways. But we shouldn't think, chas v'shalom for 1 second, that Hashem's love for us, His choice of us as a nation, is dependent on that behavior. And therefore, in order to teach that subtle lesson, the Torah doesn't even mention the reasons why Avram was chosen. You shouldn't think that it's only for that. That's the Maral, Perkei Avos, on the choice of Avraham Avinu. If you didn't come for anything else but that, it was already a Dayenu. It's important you sow to the Maral. Comes along the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe, the Shem Yishmuel, Chelek HaMoadim, Amud Reish. It doesn't quote the Maral, but with a similar idea, says that's the Pshat in Davka taking of all of the Minim, the Arava. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the theme of the Dalit Minim, and one of the primary themes of Sukkot, as the Medrash explicated for us, is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yes, the Lashon of the Medrash, I quoted it in Shul, the beginning of the Chag, is that Zel, Zel, Mechaprim Zel, Zel, it's true, it's good for the Aravos to be with an Esrog, right? You want to trail in the wake, you want to hide behind the shadow of the Esrog if you're an Arava, for sure. But we separate the Arava on Hoshana Rabbah, says the Shem Yishmuel, in order to illustrate that even when the Arava is separated from the Esrog, separated from the Lulav, separated from the Dasam, even when a person is standing on his own or her own, and unfortunately has no merits on his or her own, Ein Bo Tam, Ein Bo Reah, someone who doesn't have Torah or Ma'asem Tovim, it's just an Arava, nothing else to show for it except for what? he still or she still has everything. You're still a Jew. You're still Banim Lamakom. You're still one of Hashem's children. And just like any one of us, we put tremendous effort into raising our children. We teach them. We do our best. And of course, we fill with great pride when we see our children going in our ways. The only thing that gives us more pride is when they surpass us and they're even better than us. Halavai by all of us. But if, and unfortunately we know, it happens in even, as they say, the best of families, and it's mamish the best of families. Even when a child doesn't go in our ways, even if Rahman al-San, I don't even know how many people you could find that really would be in our Rava. Because who doesn't have Maisim Tovim? Who doesn't have some mitzvos? Who doesn't have some Torah? But even if, says the Shem Yishmuel, you could find someone with no redeeming qualities, we take the Arava for this. Yes, it's not the end of Sukkot. We're not petering out. It's the climax, the message of the whole Chag, which of course will spill into Shmini Atzeres. Stay with me one more day. I love you. What's the bridge to that? The Arava, the Hoshanas. I love you not for what you do, but for who you are. Banim Lamakom. Even without Torah, even without Maisim Tovim, the Arava is the perfect and the most appropriate symbol to be the crescendo of Sukkot. What the Shem Yishmuel says. Unbelievable, unbelievable vort. I want to add another nekuda about Sukkot, and then we'll even widen the discussion and get back to that controversy. Don't worry, I didn't forget it. One might be tempted to say, and certainly one could read this into the Maharal perhaps, that the love that Hashem has for us is betoras am, the am hanivchar, the Jewish people. As long as the Jewish people, I love the Jewish people no matter what. And that is 100% true. But it's not just that. It's every one of us individually have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is unique and distinct from every other. Yes, Hashem loves us, if I could use the following, I guess, as an illustrative point. Hashem doesn't just love us because of our last name, which we all share in common. He loves each and every one of us for our unique first name. We have a unique and special relationship with Him, independent of the fact that we're part of the klal, just as being that one. I hope it's true. Certainly it's the cliche response of every parent when that mischievous child says, "But mommy or Abba, who do you love the most?" And the answer, I hope, which is true, which we all say, but I really hope it's true, is that we love you all equally, but differently. Of course, you have different relationships with every child, but you love them all the same, equally. That's exactly true with Hashem and the Jewish people. And I alluded to, in one of my drushas earlier, on the first day of Chag, how we know that there's a very famous machlokes, Tanoim. What is the whole purpose of the holiday of Sukkot? And specifically the mitzvah of Sukkah. What are we commemorating? If I ask you, what are we commemorating on Pesach? It's easy. Shavuos is easy. What are we commemorating on Sukkot? Ki besukos hoshavti. Okay, but what do the words mean? And this is a very well-known machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer says, Adonai HaKavod. Hashem made this incredible miracle. The Adonai HaKavod were not just this floating navigational system, this GPS. They also served as protection. Didn't just tell us where to go in the Midbar, when to travel, where to go, but protected us. Unbelievable. What a miracle. We commemorate that with our Sukkos. Tzila Demnusa. Comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, no. You know what it means in the Pasuk? Sukkos Mamish. The Jewish people, when they were in the desert, they had some poles, they had some, who knows what, psolos, gerim, v'yakev, they had for their schach, and I don't know, we can clear, did they have fiberglass for the walls, like we had in America? Maybe they went, you know, very popular in certain parts of Eretz Yisrael, or Mapet Shemesh is the wood, or Mabet for sure, all you see is wood, 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 and some of us, you know, did they have a lovewood sukkahs? Did they have a pergola? I don't know. Sukkos mamish. That's Rabbi Akiva. And I alluded to, on the first day of Chag, the obvious question on Rabbi Akiva, which always bothers me year after year. I understand why we have a holiday of Sukkot, according to Rabbi Eliezer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did an incredible miracle for us. He split the Yam Suf on Pesach, and he made a miracle of Adonai HaKavod, that's Sukkot. That's a holiday. we thank Hashem, we commemorate a miracle. What's the holiday of Sukkot? According to Rabbi Akiva, there are some poles, some walls, some leaves. We found, we foraged some basic psoles in the desert, and we sort of made Epis a tent or something for us. And that is the great holiday? That's the great Simcha? It seems like such a lame holiday, if I could use an academic term. For according to Rabbi Akiva, what's going on? So many answers to this question. But just the other day, I saw an answer I'd never seen before in the Sefer Leket Sichos Musar. Beautiful three-volume set that I just bought earlier in the year from Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher. Yitzchak Isaac Sher was a Talmud Muvok and then became the son-in-law of the Alter of Slobodka. He was a very, very important personality because he was the first person in the entire beginning history of the Musar movement who not only said the Musar Shmuz, but also gave the top shir. That combination of Torah u'Musar b'makom echad, with all the respect, not that the other, or Soslanter, or Gonadi, or Itzlomi Peterberg, but in terms of the Yeshivos HaMusar, it had been previously a separate job. And if Isaac Sher was the one who was brought those together, he got very lucky. He survived the Hashkocha of his life. Again, it's a whole story. He wasn't feeling well, so he went to Switzerland to recuperate, and that's why he wasn't killed by the Nazis. He wasn't there when they came to Slobodka and to Kovda, and they killed everybody there. Eventually, he made it to Yerushalayim, Hebron Yeshiva, and then at the urging of various other Gedolim, he moved to Bnei Brak. And that's why Ad Yom Hazeh, there's a Slobodka Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. The first Yeshiva of that Yeshiva, I think he died in 1950-something, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher, was from the Alter's son-in-law. So he has this three-volume work, amazing Svarim. So he asks this question, what's the big holiday according to Rabbi Akiva? He basically says, he doesn't use the word lame, but he uses the yeshivish term for it. He says, like, it seems to be such a sad holiday, like, you know, pathetic in comparison, according to Rabbi Akiva. What's the pshat? So he says something remarkable. I'd never seen it before. Unbelievable. Made my whole chag just to see this. He says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, yes, there was an incredible miracle. It was done for the Jewish people. It wasn't done for you. It wasn't done for you. It wasn't done for me. It was one Anrei HaKavod, which miraculously covered all of us. Shkoyach, amazing. Only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do such a thing. According to Rabbi Akiva, though, a Jew got up in the morning, a Jew went to sleep for 40 years in the desert, and he had some level of protection. Where did he get it from? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that I have materials for a sukkah. Just because you have, doesn't mean I would have had. But we each had, because each one, the whatever it is, approximately, I don't know, we'll call it 600,000 families, approximately. 600,000 different acts of Hashkacha. 600,000, he says, different acts of Ahava. Hashem demonstrated his love for each and every one of us, according to Rabbi Akiva. We're celebrating not his love of Am Yisrael, but his love for every member, every one of the B'nai Yisrael. We each have an individual, unique relationship with Hashem, and He loves each and every one of us as if we were an only child. And ironically, or paradoxically, says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher, that is the power of Sukkot according to Rabbi Akiva, and it's far greater, he says, than Sukkot, if Rabbi Eliezer would be correct. Unbelievable. Pillay play. So you put them together, and the message is clear. What is Sukkot about? We often talk about, and we should aspire to, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, of loving Hashem. What don't we talk enough about? Hashem's love of us. Says Hashem Yishmuel, that's what Sukkot is about. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher, that's what Sukkot is about. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not just a scary person waiting to send a bolt of lightning down if we do the wrong thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a loving father who doesn't just love his family, he loves every single one of us. I heard an interview a few months ago of Rabbi Henoch Teller. So somebody may know the exact number more precisely than me, but he definitely has more than 14 children.
18,
okay. I figured I'll shoot low to be safe, because I knew it was at least 14. So the interviewer, you know, fumbled over trying to ask him, you know, kind of, you know, do you really know all their names? Do you know all their birthdays? You know, it's like, but it's like what everyone would want to ask somebody who has 18 children. So he said, again, I don't know, I hope it's true, but this is definitely what he said. He said he often gets the question. Okay, that was a little surprising to me. I mean, it's a little bit of chutzpah to ask the person that question. But he said he often gets the question, and he always said, you know, say, yeah, can you love all of them? And I don't remember all the specific names, but his answer was basically, what do you mean? I have one Shani, and I love her. And I have one Avram, and I love her. Him, and I love one Maishi, and one Yan. Each, I don't have 18. I have one 18 times. And each one I love. He didn't even, what's the question? You love each? So I don't know if it's humanly possible. It's not my job to be Bochin Levavos on Henoch Teller. But it is true for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly what Rabbi Isaac Sher says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has individual Hashkacha for every one of us. He didn't just make one massive sukkah. It wasn't one big cloud. Each and every one of us, Hashem did a separate Maaseh of Hashkacha to show He loves us, to make sure we have the protection that we need. So, in the last third of the time I have, let me widen this and bring up the larger point. So the controversy I'm referring to took place, I think if I remember correctly, in 2018. Shpacha magazine did a big profile on what I think they called, and now is commonly called, the Neo-Hasidic Revolution. And Memela, through that article, a huge part of it was a profile on Rav Moshe Weinberger. It wasn't about him per se, but you can't do an article on the topic without basically focusing on him, as the article did. And talked about broadly what are the values, what are the hashkafos of his teachings, why it's been so popular, etc., etc. One of the things that he mentioned, it wasn't the only thing, but one of the things he mentioned, without discussing Sukkos, obviously, in the Divrei Torah we've been discussing, was this point. The focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. Not just our need to be loving or caring or listening to Him, but His love for us. How every child needs to feel that Hashem loves him, that Hashem loves her. Sounds like a nice article. So you opened up next week's edition. And at that point, a very well-respected mechanich, I happen to have known a little bit personally, because he's a 30-year-plus veteran of the Neri Yisrael High School, wrote a very long and a very stinging critique of Moshe Weinberger, very personal, about how wrong it is, it's a mistake, we're sugarcoating Judaism, it's just this caffeinated fuzz, no one has to work hard anymore, Hashem loves you. And then he specifically says, this thing that they're saying, that Hashem loves you no matter what, it's not true. It's a quote. It's not true. When you sin, that's it. You can break the relationship. The relationship is not a permanent one. So Rabbi Weinberger responded very strongly. Mishpacha, you know, every now and then they really do some serious journalism. They allowed. See, it's good for entertainment for sure, but sometimes it's more than that. Again, there's constraints of how much journalism a person can do in the firm community. I'm saying you can't get away with certain things. But that's not Mishpacha's fault. That's our fault. We don't want real journalism. Okay, this is a different topic. They gave Rav Moshe Weinberger the last word. He wrote back very strong. And in addition to that, he gave three different shiurim, each of which had, you know, thousands of downloads in response. When I went back to check for it today, I found out that both on YU Torah and on Torah Anytime, the first shiur is gone. Only part two and three. Because in part one, Rabbi Weinberger really spoke stark against the person, and he felt bad about it. He starts off the second shiur by saying, I even wrote to him. I don't take back the substance of my disagreement with you, but I made it too personal and I apologize to him, and I am assuming that he asked that part one be taken down. Okay, I respect both of the people. I know them both. On the issue of chinuch, what's the best way to raise our children, what's the best way to mechanech our talmidim, I could hear both sides. And I'm still a Weinberger fan. But on the question of what's the MS, that's a TKO. Of course Rabbi Weinberger's right. And I could understand why he was so incredulous at some of the things that were written towards him. There are so many makoros. We just mentioned two little ones, but powerful ones, about Holiday of Sukkos. In the Chumash, multiple times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about his love for every Jew. Devarim, Chav Gimel, Vav. Hashem so love Hashem lekecha l'shmoa as el bilam v'yavuch Hashem lekecha l'cha l'klal l'vracha ki ahavcha Hashem lekecha. He loves us. Hevcha, excuse me. Devarim yud tesvav. The Navi Yishayahu. Hashem says, Tzaru malach panav oshiyim ba'ahavasohu b'chemlasohu go'alam. Malachi, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Beis, ahavti yischem amar Hashem. Etc., etc. Rashi commenting in Devarim Perakov Gimel, where Pasuk says, Lohibit Ovin biYaakov, Vlor Omal biYisrael, Hashem Elokach, Ima, Truas Melech Bo. Rashi, not a Hasidisha Rebbe. Rashi, Rebbe shall claw Yisrael. Says, doesn't matter how many sins you do. Afilu Machisin Umamrim Lefonov. Eino Zaz Mitochan. It can't do a thing to Hashem's love for the Jewish people. Don't you pay attention to what you say every day in Shema? Ahava Rabba. Baruch Ata Hashem, Baruch Masral, Ba'ahava. The foundation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us is love. It's not totally on whether we do or don't do the right thing. Any more, I would hope, than a love that a parent has for a child is totally on whether the child is giving more nachas or less nachas. Is in the olive shear or in the bet shear. Got 100 or got a 90 or even got a 60 or even got asked to leave the yeshiva. That affects a parent's love? Kadosh Baruch Hu's love for us is never ending. It's an ahava she'eina tzluya bedavar. And we need to remember that. I'll just close with the following, which is so important. And this, mamish, just in the last few hours, I reminded myself, and I found it, even though I'd read it so many years ago. One of the Rav Soloveitchik's most important essays, if I remember correctly, from our teacher, Rabbi Karmi, didn't he say that the Rav felt that Ubikashta Misham was his most important? Dr. Karmi got upset at me because I thought Isha Halacha was more important. But Karmi told me, the Rav thought, you think this, but you should know the Rav thought, Ubikashta Misham was more important. It's a very, very hard Hebrew, but you can get it in English, and from there you shall seek. Footnote 2. This is Rav Soloveitchik, again, no one ever accused of Soloveitchik of being neo-Hasidic. Rav Soloveitchik, the whole footnote 2 with all the brilliance that only Rav Soloveitchik could muster is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's never-ending love for the Jewish people. Rav Weinberger couldn't say it any better. It's all in the Rav. It's not just Hasidus, although that's wonderful. It's not just Neo-Hasidus, even that's wonderful. It is classic Torah Hashkafa. Isn't it true that sin has an impact? So the Rav has a great line. He says it's true. That can impact the link that you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can become distant. It impacts the link. But it will never impact the love. The relationship can be impacted, but the love can never be extinguished. And I'll end with the following. The Pasuk in Shir Shirim, we know very famously, he talks about the dod and the raya. Hine ze omed achar kotlenu mashkiach min hachalonos meitzitz min hacharakim. Two different metaphors. Looking through the window and peering through the lattices. So the Bnei Yisachar explains this, and with this we'll conclude with a beautiful metaphor. Imagine a mother and a child are home. They're hanging out together in the kitchen, enjoying themselves, basking each other's love. At that point, the mom says, you know, I need to do some work or prepare something. Why don't you go outside and play? And with the feeling of his mother's love, the child goes out and play, and every now and then looks up, and of course the kitchen window is wide open, and he looks longingly back at his mother, and each time he looks up, the mom is looking through the windows, Omed Acher Kotleinu, looking at him, full eyes, he sees the love. But imagine the next day, mom and child are in the kitchen, but now child had a bad day at school, he let that carry over at home, he's being chutzpahdik, misbehaving, and at some point the mom said, I had enough, listen, you got to go outside. I need a break from you. Until you can behave yourself, go outside. And each time the child looks up every few minutes at the kitchen window, what does he see? Not the open window with the mother looking lovingly. The shades are down. The blinds are closed. Doesn't see anything. But says the Bnei Sachzor, he's wrong. Because even then, it's true, the mother's not mashkiach min hachalonos, but she's meitzitz min hacharakim. She's peering through. The child doesn't see it. But even when the mom's angry, she's looking through the little cracks in the blinds just to make sure that her son is okay. There's nothing we can do. We need to know this, and we need to make sure our children know this. Hashem loves us, and there is nothing we can do to extinguish that love. We don't always see it. We don't always feel it. The world is a complex place. We're still not going to solve all those problems today. And yes, of course, we have to try to do the best we can. We all want to be a srogim, muhudarim, aleph aleph. But we need to realize that no matter what, Hashem's love is there with us. And that is the relationship, the foundation of everything. It's the message of Sukkos. And I believe if we make this the foundation of Avodas Hashem, while there's no guarantees, but I think it's logical to assume, and hopefully we have the Siyata Deshmaya to be presumptuous enough to think that we'll have even more success with our own Avodas Hashem, and Avodas Hashem we can transfer to our children, if that is the basis of the message of our Avodas Hashem. So thank you very much for listening. We started a little bit.